In hearing the pair of healing stories in today's passage from Mark's Gospel, we might be tempted toward asking a profoundly existential question. It's the first time this has ever happened to me. It's the alarm company. There's an alarm going off, probably in the rectory. In hearing the pair of healing stories in today's passage from Mark's Gospel, we might be tempted toward asking a profoundly existential question. Can Jesus heal me? The need for healing is ubiquitous. Personal, physical, spiritual, emotional, communal, or societal, our need for healing or salvation abounds. Can Jesus heal us? These healing stories also raise a pastoral dilemma for people seeking God or faith, whether in the first century Palestine or any time in human history. Why are some healed and others not? Jesus healed Jairus' daughter, so why not mine? Why the woman with the flow of blood and not my husband? Is God really a healer or not? Jesus told the woman with the flow of blood that it was her faith, not him, that made her well. So if that's really the case, does my own suffering or the suffering of others come as the result of a faith that is lacking? Yes, no, maybe so. While keeping in mind the cognitive dissonance that miracle stories like these and others throughout the Bible evoke within us, and while being pastorally sensitive to how a preacher might as easily provoke dread as much as hope in the hearts of the faithful by attempting to answer these types of questions, a more nuanced understanding of the scripture before us might be in store for us today. A slower or maybe a quieter reading of the text and our listening for what the story might be trying to tell us or teach us about how God's kingdom was made manifest in Jesus' day, and as a corollary, how God's kingdom might be made manifest in our own day, might be revealing. That slower reading, to be sure, won't answer any of our existential questions, but might well lead us to a more faithful or bolder or riskier witness in God's world. So here goes. We need to do a little unpacking. At this point in Mark's Gospel, Jesus is on the move. Today's scripture passage begins as a great crowd gathers around him after he had crossed again to the other side. He's been casting out demons and curing the sick, and that's what has garnered all of the attention, but he's also been crossing boundaries, going back and forth between Jewish and Gentile or non-Jewish regions. This morning he's back in his own territory when Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, falls to Jesus' feet while repeatedly begging him to come and lay his hands on his daughter so that she may be made well, sozo, and live. So Jesus goes. Along the way, the woman with the hemorrhage comes. Given where they are, she's likely Jewish. She's been bleeding for 12 years without a cure. Her condition and her orthodoxy declare her unclean, impure, alienated from family and friends, untouchable and unable to touch, which means she's also desperate, unnoticed. Desperate and unnoticed people do desperate things. And so she violates, she reaches past those strict purity codes, seeking her salvation. She makes her way through the crowds, grabs the tzitzit dangling from Jesus' robe, and immediately she feels as if she's been released from her bondage. The next thing that happens in the story is a little bit strange. After being touched, Jesus, immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, asks, "Who touched me?" His disciples' response to him is ironic. "Who touched you, you ask? You see the crowds? Don't you mean who didn't touch you?" But the boundary was violated, and Jesus knew it. The unclean had touched the clean. An offense, a violation had occurred. According to Jesus' own orthodoxy, he was now ritually impure, which means he can't touch anybody either. Not without a few ritual baths and a few days outside the tent. Purell wouldn't do it. And we remember what he was on his way to do, to touch Jairus' daughter so that she too could be saved. The woman, not Jairus this time, falls at Jesus' feet in fear and trembling and confesses to Jesus her whole truth. She says to him, "This is why I broke the code." The boundary violator confesses to the boundary keeper, and that boundary keeper responds with compassion, not separation. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Your citizenship as a beloved child of God and your membership in the beloved community is restored. Welcome to the kingdom." And of course, the story goes on from there. It gets even thicker. By the time Jesus gets to Jairus' house, the girl's dead. And Mark reminds us she was only 12. The woman suffered for 12 years and the girl was only 12 years old. Hopefully, we've all been engaged in Scripture long enough to know why Mark uses that number. 12 sons of Jacob. 12 tribes of Egypt. Jesus called the 12. 12, 12, 12. I'm not a numerology guy, but some do say that 12 is the result of 3 representing the divine and 4 representing the cosmos. When 3 and 4 meet, they make 12. When temporal governance reflects God's justice and God's loving kindness. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Talitha kum, little girl, get up. As Ched Myers, my favorite interpreter of Mark's gospel, summarizes this healing story, salvation narrative, Mark's story shows that only when the outcast is restored to true daughterhood can the daughter of the synagogue be restored to true life. This is the faith that the privileged must learn from the poor, that the citizen must learn from the alien. And it's a story that summarily might be rendered as the reality that only when the last are first will God's kingdom come. Only when the outcast is restored to true daughterhood can the daughter of the synagogue be restored to new life. In Mark's story, Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, is metaphorically, at least, the leader of a nation, the overseer of a body politic that so badly needed repentance and restoration. By the end of the pericope, not only the woman with the hemorrhage, but Jairus, and maybe we might even add Jesus too, violated their own orthodoxy when allowing the ritually or culturally or religiously impure healer to touch and therefore heal the child. The child is undoubtedly, for Mark, a symbol for the children of Israel. When writing this sermon and reading Mark's story, I couldn't help but to remember Rosa Parks. And the day when, after years of suffering as an African-American woman, she just got tired and decided to touch Jesus' cloak and take her seat in the front of that Montgomery bus, inspiring a nation to repentance, to healing, and to salvation. So many years later, 50 or more, our body politic is guilty of not heeding her witness. Still later, when reading a recent issue of the Christian Century, I read a commentary on the passage from Mark's Gospel appointed for this week by Willie Duane Francois III, senior pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church in Pleasantville, New Jersey. Hear this. "Resilient, rebellious reaches threaten the logic of exclusion and the politics of purity." Resilient, rebellious reaches threaten the logic of exclusion and the politics of purity. Harriet Tubman built an underground railroad. Nanny Helen Burroughs reshaped education for black women and girls. Jerina Lee preached the gospel in a sexist church. Ida B. Wells exposed the atrocities of American lynching. Fannie Lou Hamer, who was sick and tired of being sick and tired, changed the Democratic Party. We have to keep reaching for moral high ground and for justice. Your next reach may shift the history of the world. In the name of God and in our customary time of silence in response to the gospel, we remember all who pray, all who beg for healing, for restoration, for unity, for repentance. We remember friends and loved ones who suffer. We remember all those whose lives demand the desperate crossing of many human boundaries that prevent life and salvation. Help us, Lord, to preserve the boundaries that keep us whole, but to break down the ones that divide us. We repent of the evil we have done and the evil done on our behalf. In your mercy, Lord, heal us, whatever your healing and whatever your salvation means to each of us. Inspire our next reach and help us shift the history of the world.